This is a Zach Feldman Show replay on ZRadioLive.com.
The website music station Z Radio Live. This is the Zach Feldman Show. Joining me over the phone are two guests, the writer and, the subject of the book called Surviving Master Joshua, the BDSM Memoir of an Unfaithful Wife. Holy crap. I'm excited to talk to you guys. It's Karma Said and Joshua. Thanks for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having us. Your reaction was kind of the reaction when the title of the book came into focus.
Well, it's a crazy title, and it's also something that's so taboo, you know, but I think that's kind of the whole premise of this book too. But tell me a little bit, Karma, what it's all about.
Well, when Joshua and I crossed paths, I was working for a conservative news outlet as a staff reporter. And I was after a color story about religious people and BDSM. Just because it's kind of like just a color story, because it's juicy, you know? It's an easy sell.
It's a good sell, and it's a good headline to put out there. People exactly. will click on it.
Yeah, exactly. Clickbait.
Yes.
And
I started off as clickbait thing.
You still are clickbait. Joshua's partner at the time ran a photography studio that specialized in boudoir photos of Orthodox women. And as a side gig, she and Joshua converted the studio into a makeshift dungeon every few nights a week, and they ran BDSM parties for it.
And was this like public knowledge, or was this just like something that you knew because you were reporting on it?
It's not exactly public knowledge, but it's not hidden either. I mean, it's I'm sure it was heavily published on Facebook and FetLife and all the channels. People who aren't in the scene would not know about it because they're not in those groups. But I just got a lead from somebody, and I followed up on that lead. Mm-hmm. And they said, why don't you come to a party to see it? And we can talk about the topic of your, it was a party and a round table. So they had this little discussion in the beginning, and they said you could use this these people to interview them for your article. So the moment I walked into the door, what they were doing became so much more interesting to me than the article.
I mean, that's kind of where you popped your, you know, you popped your like BDSM cherry in a sense.
Yeah, you know, the cherry, the tomato, the watermelon.
Yeah.
I find it so interesting too. It's like, this is such like a, it's kind of underground a little bit. Like people who aren't in this scene don't really know about what it's all about. But then you have reporters like you yourself, you know, who go into these scenes and figure out, you know, kind of where the whole workings around and stuff like that. But in the end, it's like that you're reporting on that. But how does somebody like Joshua, and I guess this is a question for Joshua, how do you get involved in something like this? Like, how do you even say to yourself, like, this is what I want to do?
So the way that I come across it, and I think after COVID, I think the big chunk of it was people were starting to realize the fragility of life and wanting to get out there and really explore what life has to offer. Mm-hmm. I think that's the current wave of new attendees. They're getting it from the post-COVID life scare, so to speak. Before, it was thanks to literature like 50 Shades, right? And a lot of people hate on it, but if it wasn't for 50 Shades, BDSM wouldn't be a household subject.
And it wouldn't be as popular as it is today, because I think today it's definitely blown up like crazy.
Yeah. So it's given people permission to exist, right? And if you really think, from my experience, everyone's kinky. Right. It's just about finding the people or person that's safe enough to talk about it with.
And I also think in any relationship, no, it's okay. I think in any relationship, you know, it should be okay to talk about it, you know?
But it's really difficult. It's really difficult to really find that space of safety because we're worried about judgment from our partners, and it could be a hard hill to climb.
Often you don't know that you're missing anything, or you don't know what you're missing, or you don't know that there's anything that exists beyond what you know. I stumbled into this by mistake, and I found myself like deeply enthralled by it. But had I not just kind of stumbled into it, I would never have imagined that there's like a real world out there, a nonfiction reality in which people engage in this on a daily level. It's their life, right? It's our life. But I wouldn't know had I not accidentally opened that door.
You know, it's something still also mysterious too about it, because like you were just doing this as an assignment, and you know, as a journalist, you know, usually the journalist doesn't get involved in the actual story. You know,
I had an oops moment.
were you kind of like, you know, were you taken aback when you were like, you know, I do want to get involved in this, but like this is going to kill my whole journalistic integrity about it?
I was more tortured about what it would do to my marriage and kids.
Well, you know, tell me about the whole marriage too, you know, because you were involved with another man or woman, I'm not exactly sure who, but you know, you have kids too, and then you found Joshua. Was that a huge shock to your family?
Well, I was involved at the time only with my husband, of course, and because I was not in any sort of lifestyle. I was monogamous and not even aware of lifestyles, just kind of conservative in my ways. And yes, it was a huge ground dropping under my feet moment, because from the beginning it was sort of like a choice between sort of like, do you follow on a dangerous, reckless, tempting quest, mm-hmm. that and when that door opens, or do you stay put and conserve what you have? And that is, I think, a conflict many people have in life when they face something they want, which is out of their comfort zone, out of their boundaries. So it was taboo, but it spoke to me in such a loud way, and I had such strong feelings to Joshua from the beginning that I just had to either follow or know that I am betraying myself.
It's really interesting too, because I mean, this is such a this is more of like a feeling you want to do something with somebody like that. But you know, I kind of compare it to somebody who's stuck in the closet, you know, and doesn't know if they should come out as gay or bisexual. And explore that aspect of themselves, because it's like, it's literally the same thing. It's like, you know, there's this whole world out there of other things, but like, yeah, I mean, you have to explore it to feel like, to know if you actually want it. And if that's something that's good for you, you know?
And exploring in itself is dangerous and taboo. And especially when you know where it's going to lead to more exploring.
And there's a lot of shame that comes with it. Like we have a good, our local community, our built community, mm-hmm. is a good mix of spectrums from orientation to expression to gender, right? We ride a wide range of expression. And what I hear a lot is the shame that a lot of folks get when they quote unquote come out of the kink closet, right, by folks who would be normally supportive of their sexual orientation, mm-hmm. Primarily the queer and the gay community.
Kink is looked down upon.
yeah.
How does somebody explore? How does somebody get themselves involved in this? Like what are their first steps into trying to see if this is right for them?
So I'm going to jump on this one. I'll lead with this one. I'd say research is the first thing, right? Get an understanding of definitions and vocabulary. Next would be education and exposure to whatever level you're comfortable, because there's a big hesitancy in going through the door at a play party, right? You'll have people who will walk past. A play party is an event where people get together and engage in BDSM activities like flogging and spanking, and not necessarily sex or sexual engagements, but just primarily BDSM as an activity. So education and a certain level of exposure that one would be comfortable and feel safe in. Mm. I would recommend doing munches and socials. We actually created a weekend intensive and an online version of it to help folks do the introspective work that we believe you should lead with when stepping into this lifestyle.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, where can people find that?
We have our website, kinkcollective.net, and masterjoshua.com, which has the events and links listed to the events. They're accessible for folks who are beginners all the way to veterans, right? There's always something new to learn. And I mean, I've been doing this for quite a number of years, and I still learn. I think I learn more than the attendees during every intensive.
That's amazing. And, you know, that's really healthy too, that there's a place for people who to explore this without, you know, the fear of, you know, danger. Because I feel like that's a big fear of a lot of people who want to get into this, is danger. It's like, I don't know these people, you know, also STDs too, I think is probably a huge thing in the community too for you guys.
I think education and information is probably more prevalent, especially within the community, because self-awareness is paramount, right? The amount of inner work that Karma had to do to be able to communicate to me where she was within her own journey and her own life, this is like pertinent information, and making it okay to talk about is paramount.
Yeah. And it's still taboo out there in these days, even though we have so much, I feel like there's so much more like entertainment out there that kind of focuses on BDSM. It's still pretty taboo.
I agree.
Yeah. Was it a challenge to get this story out there? I mean, when did you guys decide together that this is what we want to publish out to the world?
Since my story began as an article, I never stopped. From the moment I met Joshua, I never stopped writing this book. I started the day before I met him writing the background to the article. And then it became an article about allegation of sexual abuse against him. And then it became an article about the Me Too movement. And then it became my journal about the other people involved in it. And eventually, about halfway through, I'm like, okay, this is my book about the past that I'm going through. And it evolved from an article to a book. And it took 4 years of just writing as you are going through it.
And then when you finally took the plunge to publish it, though, how did you get Joshua's approval?
Joshua's approval was not my not the problem. The problem was my husband's approval.
Are you still with your husband, by the way, to ask?
Very much so, yes.
Oh, wow. And he's totally okay with this.
This is not easy for any one of us, but we are all in agreement, and we are all above board about what is happening. And we found a way to support each other without stepping on each other's sensitivities and needs. It's complicated, but everybody knows and everybody agrees.
That's amazing. Joshua, are you cool with her having a husband, and are you cool with, you know, having your own relationships besides this one?
Yeah. The relationship with the husband, in my wildest dreams, right, I look forward to a day where we can be close friends. Mm-hmm. My intention within the relationship isn't to separate Karma, but it's to make her a fuller version of herself, to be a more robust mother and wife to her partner. And in turn, what she's helped me do is become a better version of myself, right? And I think the intent is to share our life experiences with each other, but not necessarily exclusively, right? Because love is larger than us too, right? There's a lot more people involved, and there's a lot more things to take into consideration that isn't just my emotions.
That's fair. And that's a really good thing is to think about, because it's like, you know, you're kind of involved in this whole, you know, taking this family together, but you don't want, you yourself don't want to separate them.
Correct.
You know, you want to be the support system, but you know, you don't want to be the home wrecker.
Correct. I'm their biggest cheerleader.
That's great to hear. And that's great. And you know, for those who want to read more about Surviving Master Joshua, where can they take it up? And where can they pick it up?
Well, it's on Amazon. You can get it through survivingmasterjoshua.com, through Amazon, through Barnes & Nobles, and through Google Play. at the moment. And on April, it goes live on all those channels. And by May, it would be in other channels as well.
Well, that's amazing. Well, Karma said, and Joshua, thank you so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show. Seriously, best of luck with the book and best of luck with everything that's going for you too. And also, you know, shout out the website again one more time for those who want to get involved.
SurvivingMasterJoshua.com. All in one word.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me here on the Zach Feldman Show and best of luck with the book.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Want to hear more? Listen to the Zach Feldman Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ZRadioLive.com.